Number two is in the house, Marcus.
That where we should
We're two
start.
For two right now. We're two for two right now.
Baby boy, no. Mini Junior Timbuk Jason Diakite. What do we got? Give me the whole name, the first, last, everything.
But we don't know yet. I think, you know, Solomon, my grandfather's name, my dad's dad.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be in there somewhere. And that's about what we have right now.
Okay.
For now, he goes by little brother or birdie because, you know, boy was born 3 weeks early.
Yeah.
So he really caught us by surprise, but... The main thing, and I mean, you and Maya and Zion just went through this experience. And, you know, I mean, despite that we live in Sweden, it's got free healthcare. Like you live in the United States, you have the, you know, privilege of having good healthcare available to you. It's still like, it's the most natural process, but it's also a fragile process.
Absolutely.
So I really was at, you know, going into this with the, just with the gravidität, with the pregnancy, and just like, man, if, you know, kind of like an inshallah situation, like God willing, you know, it's up to the universe. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be. But thank God the boy was born, even though he was born 3 weeks early, doing well, good weight.
Yes.
His mother, most important of all, his mother pulled through. She was a champion. Hero,
absolutely.
Goddess, queen that gave birth to this guy, and she pulled through, and everybody's doing, you know, everybody's doing as good as can be expected, which is not something I take for granted.
And how's Maxie? How's she dealing with it?
That's a whole different story. That's what that's one of the things I want to dive in with you about, because let's see here, baby Grace was born. Let's see here, 18th of January,
yeah,
25th of January?
Around that time, yeah.
25th, right around there, little Aquarius. And we're trailing in here with the Aries.
Yes.
April 1st, he popped out, man. It snowed in Stockholm on the day he was born.
Yes.
That's like one of the names in my, you know, Mayweather was one name I had in mind. Mm. But, you know, I didn't get that one. You know,
it's always going to be some that you're not going to get.
Yeah.
You know,
most of the stuff I don't get. I just throw them out, you know.
Yeah.
I just offer them up, suggestions.
Well, I'm going to call him Prince. I'm going to call him Prince because there is a beautiful Prince song. Sometimes it snows in April. So now I got my name.
You know, Marcus, it's so dope that you say that because I was saying to Amelie is like, you know, okay, Prince is kind of like, I have a few friends from, you know, back south named Prince. They were all from Ghana, by the way. Mm-hmm. You know, shout out Ghana, massive, you know. But it's like a little stretch for me to name a kid Prince. And also, you know, like Roger is not really a name that I'm like too drawn to either. But I would like to name him something kind of Prince-ish.
But then,
you know?
Nelson is right there too. That's his,
Nelson is there. That's kind of
double meaning.
It's both Prince and of course it's Mandela.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. But that's
okay, Marcus.
There's always that line in the songs like springtime is always my favorite time of year, and for you now we will always be your favorite time of year. You know, and sometimes sometimes it snows gold in April. Do you know what I mean? That's what it is.
Yeah. And you know, if Prince would have lived here, you know, the song would be called "It Snows in April."
Yeah,
you know, because it snows in April in Stockholm. You know, he might. Might write a song called "Sometimes It Snows in June," you know, because that happens too.
That's great.
But no, but it's just it's a blessing, Marcus. And if I sound a little up in the air, it's because like he's 9 days now, and that's 9 days of like not having slept the whole night.
Yeah.
You know what that's like.
Mm-hmm. In it,
he's
in
up. And it seems, you asked me how our oldest child, our daughter, Maxime, is doing. And she's doing well. She's excited. But also, I noticed she's kind of gone back to a baby stage. She talks a lot in a baby voice.
Yeah.
There's a lot of drama around small things. She's also right on the cusp of turning 4. Mm-hmm. So it's like, wow, it's, you know, it's really a handful, I'll say, you know.
We have this book with Zion. We have this book, How to Become a Big Brother, right? And that book is really good because it goes through all the different, you have to fill in, I'm a big brother, I'm a big sister. How do you feel about it? Do you love it? Do you not like it? Are you mixed emotions? and scientist me sometimes has mixed emotions about it, right? So I think, you know, even these things are really good to talk about. I'm like, what was she mixed feelings? And oh, it could be not seeing mommy as much or stuff like that, or Martin, you know?
Exactly.
And I just love, we don't read it every night, but we read it a lot. And it's just so many good things. And my favorite part about the book is that you have to fill in it. We have to fill it in, or he has to fill it in, you know, which is really great.
Yeah, exactly. So it gets you guys to talking about it, which I think is the main thing, you know?
Yep, yeah.
And I guess that's one of the blessings. I mean, Zion is, let's see here. He's six, right?
So no, he's turning six. He's going to turn six in July. Yeah, yeah.
He's turning six. Maxie's turning four. Mm-hmm. It's also that we have kids that are old enough that you actually can speak to them about it. Like, how are you feeling? And I understand that, like, for a while now, mom is kind of out of the picture. Mm. Like, she's busy taking care of little brother, and he needs, you know, he needs her to eat and just to survive. Mm-hmm. But a beautiful part of that is that Maxie and I are kind of like the breakaway team, you know?
Yeah.
So we're out in the park, we're at the playgrounds, we're going on missions, you know, he was 3 weeks early, so we hadn't gotten everything in order, had to go get the baby crib for him, the little changing table, all this stuff that she was along for, which is a nice thing. And, you know, I like the feeling of that there are more of us now.
Yeah, it's
50% kids, 50% adults in the family. And there's like, there's four. We're starting to become a little gang.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I love it.
Try.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah. That idea, like, you know, me and Zion, we got to do our thing, right? Because, you know, especially on the weekend when he doesn't have school, so like he wants to get out, he wants to be with other kids, and we have a bunch of great playgrounds actually in Morningside and some really good playgrounds there, right? But
yeah, it's not too far to Central Park.
No, all of that. Yeah. But what I love about Morningside, it's more of a Harlem tribes. I know the neighbors, I know their neighbors' kids and all that stuff. But it's fascinating. Mm. One thing that I do see, I think there's too many parents on the playground. You know, I'm like the type of parents I just want to watch and sit back and whatever happens. I want to be the last person going in when stuff happens. And, you know, one kid can't even like fall off a slide until there are like five parents on top of it. And it's like, no, it's too much. I have no recollection. I don't remember anything of any parents being at my playground.
I don't remember my parents being at the playground with me at any point in my life.
None. A whistle. My mom had a whistle to, or either, you know, if my sister didn't bring me back to dinner, you know, she whistled me and I could be up in the woods. I could be anywhere.
Like a ref.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a ref. Yeah.
And
you could get a red card too, I'm sure.
That happened.
Like, no problem. You probably got a couple.
But like,
got a couple.
This tiny little thing happened at the playground on Sunday. And it was like three parents involved getting upset at each other. And I'm like, the kid is four or five, right? And here you have yelling parents. I'm like, this is not how you're going to resolve this. And it was like, too many parents involved, you know? Too much.
That's the thing. Like, I'll be honest, you know, it's a fine line between that helicopter parent, like, who's always behind the kid when the kid is on the jungle gym. I'll be honest. I've been that, you know, I've been that dad trailing behind my daughter, like, oh, don't fall, don't fall. But at the same time, realizing that, you know, one of the things that I feel that I really want to instill in her, and also now in my newborn child as he grows up, is is grit, mm-hmm. you know, grit and like a reliance in her own and his own like power that they can actually do things like that go-getterism kind of mm-hmm. That if you want something, then if you want it enough, you will go out and you'll do your best to try mm-hmm. to attain it, you know.
Seems like you're going to summer in New York and have a little playground, a little backyard back up here because, you know, grit, it's all about grit for New York kids at the playground.
I know, man.
You know, drop them off. That's it.
Yo, I look forward to it. I mean, we had a nice moment there when I came by your house a couple of weeks ago. I got to say hi to baby Grace. And then you and Zion were off to the park.
Because
he's like, he need to jump on his bike and like do stuff. They have all this energy, man. Yeah. And it's like, you know, I like to think that I'm in good shape. But like, I can't keep up. Like, not a whole day, you know. Mm-hmm. Not a whole day of like running. And it's like, again, Dad. Again.
That's
again.
Good. That's good.
You know?
That's good.
But it's a beautiful thing, Marcus.
Oh,
like, one part of me, I was thinking about it now because I was just, that's why I was late coming into the recording, was cooking for the family. And, you know, one part of me, I could just get into spending like these next 2 years just like cooking, taking care of the kids, being with them, playing with them, you know, and I think that's a really nice feeling.
Beautiful.
At the same time, I have to balance that out with the work that we do and create, because I think that's also good for them. But
speaking of,
I don't know.
Speaking of, we haven't recorded in a minute, and this is what goes down. Mm. Jason, you and I go off air, and this is what goes down.
Mm.
A new news in that the Supreme Court, right? Boom, choom, ba-doom.
Yep.
Ketanji, right?
KBJ.
Yeah.
Ketanji's
just
in
like
the
that.
House.
Boom.
Yep.
All right.
KBJ, man.
The slap, right? The slap. That happened.
Oh, man.
Right?
Yeah, that happened.
And then, of course, Sweden's not going to the World Cup. You know, so obviously.
No,
on the,
I didn't know.
No, Sweden's not going to the
I
World
didn't
Cup.
Know.
No, lost in the last match.
Oh.
So out of all
that
of
them, means that last one for Zlatan, it had to have been.
Definitely.
Right?
But there's a new generation mm-hmm. coming, and maybe we have to go through this mm-hmm. in order to go to the next one. But the World Cup is in this year. It's going to be in Qatar
right?
in December, mm-hmm. which the World Cup has never been in around Christmas time, in the holidays.
That's so weird. Yeah.
Because of the weather, because that's the only time where mm-hmm. it's actually probably a little bit cooler, but it's still not going to be cool.
Yeah, it's not going to be cold. But
I just felt like, wow, we have a lot to talk about, right? First, baby Birdie Prince, Nelson, you know, boom.
Yep.
Just like that, coming out 3 weeks early.
We're two for two, Marcus. Yeah. You have two kids now, and I have two kids now. Like, already, it's like 2022. Two. You know, basically for me, this year is already, you know, knock on wood, this year is already like it's historic.
Started
already.
Off good. And then so
so should we dive?
Jump in,
know,
pick one.
Everything that like needs to be said and maybe should be said about the slap has been said. I don't even know where to go. Will Smith has also this like, he's always had this like very like good, like decent, just this decent aura, fun loving, always positive. Really, I would say after having seen him in King Richard was the first time that I really was like, okay, homeboy's taking us, like it was seriously his work in that film was really like he took it to the next level with his mm-hmm. acting. And I felt he did a really dope job in that film, but I don't know, man. It is, you know, there's something behind this.
Yeah.
He wasn't. There was something behind it. Needless to say, he wasn't having a good day.
Now you,
and I don't know what's going on in his family, but like Chris Rock makes a joke and you're gonna bug out? Like it's Chris Rock, man.
Yeah.
Like what the?
Well,
like, what the fuck?
I would say a couple of things around this. First of all, big shout out to Chris Rock, man. That if you want to see professionalism, how to keep the show moving, I do think Chris Rock just like set up.
Like he got like boom. One of the hardest slaps that I've ever seen anyone receive and just turned and was like, wow. Mm-hmm. And like just kept talking.
No, it's incredible. It's too early, but I think people are actually going to look back at that and be like, oh my God. When people say the show must go on, that's probably one of the prime examples you will ever see. And obviously Chris knew, Rock knew we're in front of a billion people or whatever it might be, right? So he's like, I'm not stopping this. This is not going to... So I thought that was... And it's been kind of under... I feel the whole thing had been under-talked about. Some things have been exposed so much. Again, how did Chris Rock feel? Like that for me, everybody went to my will. I'm like, dude, like how does Chris Rock feel? And it's really fascinating how media pops like that. I was like, he... could have just also just walked out or done something else, but he didn't. He didn't punch back. He didn't walk off.
It wasn't on him. No. I mean, in no time during the show was it on him, but it's really on...
I know like this going to be like at high school graduations or other places where we're not going to see it filmed. All of a sudden, the slap's going to be some way of expression that now you can actually go up and just interfere. So I think that is my take on this. It's like as two black men, there are both icons in their own right. There could have been 50 different ways how Will Smith could have handled that differently.
Also on a personal note. Like mature, classy way, you know.
I just saw him. I saw him a week before. I saw him a week before here in New York.
Really?
Yeah. It was a big award season. I was giving out a film award and he got best actor. So I went up, spoke to him and Spike Lee, and I said to congratulations, I know you're going to get the Oscars this year. And I talked to Questlove, same thing, right? So it's a really good moment. But even there, you could tell he's on that Oscar award season where he's super, he had to talk to everybody. He, you know, was chipping for air because everybody wanted to talk to him, of course. So I just made sure like, peace, congrats. And I was out, but I was watching it. You know, I think it's all of these things that he's been so commercial over the years, right? And I feel like he is, you know, maybe the Muhammad Ali role was similar, but he's not really
But I don't feel that didn't come off in the same way.
No, but in terms of space, that's a similar space. Like he's going for something. Yeah. And I do think he's achieved everything else but this. I do think that whole Oscar route, being the last award, being on this train, because award season's really, it starts in December, and they're on every week. They're on something, right? They're nominated, and they get there. And it's a whole, not giving an excuse, but I do think he's been on that ride.
No, you know? It is inexcusable, like his behavior. And that's already been said by way more eloquent voices. But there is like that, a conversation that we've had before. And of course, that a lot of us have had around Kanye West, for example. And that's, you know, you can have maybe a certain amount of mental unhealth or mental issues going into your career, but what does celebrity do with you from that perspective of the pressure that an individual themselves places on them, and then also the expectations of everyone around them, the performance aspect of constantly performing. If it's not, you know, in front of people, it's you're in front of people in social media. And then add to the mix being a black celebrity. Mm-hmm. And especially in the United States. And you know, and this is, I'm sure, been true for, you know, all of the past decades as well. But still to this day, it's a special space to hold, I'm sure. I mean, you have a taste of that. You're a very well-known person in the United States and you're a black man. And I can't imagine, you know, I hold some of that, but here in Sweden, but it's very, very different in Sweden, as you know, Marcus. Like I'm still, I shop at the grocery store like everyone else. I'm on my bike. I'm, you know, in Stockholm, people kind of keep their distance. They look and stare, but they very rarely come up. In Malmo, where I used to live in the south of Sweden, like people are in your face about it, man. I had an eight-year-old kid yell at me once.
I biked by on
this old bike.
Level up.
Vad fan gör du på en cykel, din jävla luffare? You know, basically like, Timbuktu, why the fuck are you on a bike? You look like a fucking bum, you know? I'm supposed to be all like a rap star, and this kid sees me on a bike. He's like, this is not fly, you're not balling. But that's Malmo. Like, people will step to you. Yeah. You know, they don't like the latest song you released. Boom. They're like, yo, what the hell is up? They'll come up to you and talk to you about it in your face. Like, I could be sitting with my family eating dinner and people come up and want to have, you know what I mean? So it's more like Harlem in that aspect.
I love it.
Where Stockholm is like very, very distant. Like, nobody will say anything. I'll feel people staring.
Yeah.
Which in a way almost is worse. I had to step to one guy because I was at a restaurant with my whole family the other day. First time we took little brother to a restaurant. And this kid, maybe 18, I see him take a picture of me.
No.
You know, while I'm putting my my little baby down, you know, his little car seat. And he was sitting with his grandparents and his two siblings. And I'm like, you know, how did the picture turn out? He's like, oh, yeah, it was good. It's okay. And I'm like, you know, you just ask before you take a picture. It's fine. You know, you just ask me, show me that respect. We'll take a picture. No problem. Don't be snapping shots at me when, you know,
when I'm with my family.
Yeah, no, it's disrespectful. So, but these are like minor things compared to like the Kanye's and Will Smith's and Beyonce's and, you know, Oprah's of the world, what they... You know, when you're on that kind
of... Well, I will tell you about a celebrity
godly level. Like when we grew up in the 80s, like Michael Jackson, Prince, and Madonna, the three like gods of pop music. And they were all like super weird. They dressed in clothes that like no normal person wore. Looked super cool, but no, like, you know, we tried, but you couldn't get to their level.
No.
And they all had these like, they all did these like weird, strange things. I think in some sense, celebrity and insanity, or like genius and insanity, brilliance and insanity, it goes hand in hand.
Definitely. I mean, we always look at celebrities for abnormal, right? But, you know, obviously in brilliance, and obviously that takes a certain spark that is obviously doesn't come out of normality. It has a completely different vibe and thought process to it. Listen, speaking of a celebrity that did not disappoint, that I had the pleasure to meet and cook for last week, as well as a big week, was actually Mrs. Madam Vice President Kamala Harris.
Woo!
So wow, I was in D.C., did a big dinner and had a chance to meet her. And
and you cooked as well?
Yeah, we did a big dinner for about 300
people.
Okay,
so tell me about what you cooked. What was the main
course? Dinner is in the National Gallery in Washington, D.C., and is actually the opening to an exhibit that celebrates the diaspora of Africa. So West Africa, Brazil, and African-American experience, art from these three corners of the world. And so the food, I had everything from fonio, from mafé. So it's a lot of different things that really stemmed out.
So you made some mafé,
yeah,
Marcus.
Yeah, so we made, and it was really also celebrating Brazil, West Africa.
Some feijoada, maybe, you know,
But for me, the highlight of the evening was not only to miss Madam Vice President, but also in these difficult times, creativity and culture don't stop, right? See a room filled of majority African-Americans and people from Brazil and a, you know, 400 guests still during the pandemic, because they, you know, they fundraised for this, they kept going during the pandemic and made an effort to put this incredible exhibit on, and people's going to come and see it. So culture can't stop, you know, and it was, this week was a lot of that. I did the opening of Jean-Michel Basquiat's opening here in New York.
Okay, that I want to talk about.
Yo,
so, like, first of all, I've been trying to find out how long the exhibit is going to... I know it went up like April 7th or something like that.
It started on Monday.
And how long is it hanging?
It's going
to... Because I need to see it. King Pleasure.
Yeah, it's going to be... The Basquiat exhibit will be throughout the end of the year. And then...
Oof, okay.
Yeah, you'll see it. And then it will go to LA.
Okay,
and then
I definitely need to see that.
It was a lot of new work. And it was really kept by the family. And his sisters are now really the ones that are partner with different foundations to get this work out. The exhibit was incredible. As you know, Jean-Michel Basquiat is a huge sort of icon of mine, somebody that I've always been inspired by. And to be part of, you know, we did the food and all of that stuff was just a small part of it. But it was just, you know, like, this is what I love about big cities, right? So the Basquiat exhibit, again, was planned during the pandemic, but it don't stop. You know what I mean? And this is the only way. I mean, you... Oh,
what is it we need in a crisis?
Yeah.
It's culture is...
Absolutely.
It's what makes us human.
Because we're so... The whole world right now is so polarized, right? So the only way to get together is through food, is through music, is through art, and really see
the only chance to depolarize or to build bridges is 9 times out of 10 going to be via culture, via music, via theater, poetry, via writing, film, TV, and, you know, I'll throw sports into that, definitely.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
You know, I'll be honest and say, like, you look at Europe today, the war in Ukraine, a neighboring country invading them. Also, you have like two neighboring countries, Hungary and Belarus, that are Ukraine's neighbors, and they're not helping out. You know, actually, quite the contrary, Belarus is actually helping the Russians and so forth. Like, moving forward, this is such, you know, war is such a has been such a constant in Europe for thousands of years. And then we've had this period of peace after the Second World War that maybe now is coming to an end, you know, or has come to an end. But I do think that sports, and especially soccer, has had a really pacifying and kind of peacemaking effect, I think, on European countries. Mm. Like, where can we picture, like, Ukraine and Russia ever meeting again in an official kind of a setting that's nonviolent?
Wow.
Football, yeah. You know, that's probably the first place where these two countries will ever meet again.
Yeah.
You know, other than a negotiation table where they're trying to hammer out a peace deal, but other than that, you know, and it's probably going to be, you know, a hateful game.
Yeah.
You look at, for example, every time England and Argentina play football. Mm-hmm. I don't even know this much about football, but I know this. Because of the war in the Falklands, it's always like a super bitter contest between the Brits and between the English and the Argentinians.
There's a couple of more things that Maradona's hand of God didn't help.
No. Did you hear, Marcus, that the shirt is actually, the shirt that he wore is going up for auction? Mm. I thought about you when I heard about that.
Oh my God. I mean, that hand of God did definitely not help. I love Armando, so I'm very biased. You know, I would go with Argentina all day, every day.
You speak about an unhinged guy.
Oh my God.
I mean, I could see Maradona laying a slap down. No doubt about it.
The Maradona was the perfect imperfect human. That's what I would say. Yeah, yeah. The perfect
total anti-hero. Yeah.
Perfect imperfect
and
human.
Even the way like his body shape is looks totally unathletic, but the way the guy ran and how fast and technical he was, it's uncanny.
Yeah. He lived hard and he lived rest in peace, Diego Armando Maradona, and everything that you gave us. I want to follow up a little bit on that on Europe, right? So obviously, Hungary had an election, you know, that, you know, there's a huge election going to go on in Europe soon. Now we have France, Macron against Le Pen. And these things that kind of America looks at with one eye, but really don't follow, these are not a small event because, you know, if Le Pen flips to France, then it's advantage Putin again. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And France is not a small country. It's a huge country in Europe. I would say Germany, England, and France are kind of like sort of the engines of
the Western European superpowers. So, and the thing is, what a lot of people don't know, that Vladimir Putin privately is the biggest donor to Front National,
of course,
which is Marine Le Pen's party. Yeah. And he is a friend of Marine Le Pen, and Jean-Marie, her dad, was also a friend of him.
And
so,
and then you have the threats keep coming, right? Today, actually, both Sweden and Finland got threatened if it's about to join NATO, right? So these aggressions are not just something that you read as a... For me, I don't read it just as a feed in my phone. You know what I mean? Like, these are... Actually,
yeah, not anymore. No, not at all. Anymore. Not, it's like, you know, I used to kind of scoff at people who were like, oh, the Russians might come, the Russians might come. But now I can't scoff at that anymore because that's what's actually happening right now in Ukraine.
Yeah. And I think that all of this is because there's so much misinformation, so no matter where you are on this, it's so sad because we have technologies today so you can just feed people, like the fact that majority of Russian people think that this war against Ukraine is okay. It's not, you know, it's not their fault per se, it's just the misinformation that is out there, right? So you can just overload stuff.
But on the other hand, Marcus, you also have the exact opposite going on, that is that a lot of people are finding out about the atrocities that are going on via Twitter, via social media, and via, you know, apps like Signal and Telegram.
Sure.
Some Russians are actually able to find. So you have that. It's that push and pull. It's the good and the bad.
No, absolutely.
That comes with the social media landscape. And also, I must say, their president, Zelensky, he's also really kind of masterfully using, Zoom, social media to get his and the Ukrainian people's narrative out. And it's really, I mean, he's got the majority of the world behind him because he's been really good about spreading that message.
Yeah, and go back to his roots of being an entertainer, right? He's a great communicator, and this is his moment to step up and truly, truly communicate.
But there's one thing about that, Marcus. I mean, we both had one kid each going into this year, and now we have two kids each. And I'm thinking, you know, we're right on the heels of the pandemic, which is still going on. We don't know, will it come back this winter, which was the biggest crisis, hands down, of yours and mine and our whole generation's lives. And then on the heels of that crisis, you have the war in Ukraine. And you have multiple wars going on at the same time in Ethiopia, in Yemen, in Sudan, in Burma, in so many places of the world, armed strife. And I wonder if crises will be the new normal, or these like huge tragedies and crises will be the new normal that our kids grow up with and into a world of this. Whereas we kind of, you know, grew up in what must be considered one of the most peaceful times in all of human history. Because there's one crisis that we know we're heading towards that is unavoidable. We don't know how it's going to play out, when or where. We just know that the climate crisis is real. It's going to affect us all in one way or the other. And there's no escaping it. And all our efforts are being spent dealing with, you know, dealing with kind of minor beefs compared to the huge challenge that lays ahead. And that's what scares me a bit about what our kids are, you know, what world they're going to grow up into.
I don't think there is. I think a little bit opposite. I think that one of the reasons why we're thinking about this war so much is because it is, let's be honest, because it's in Europe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would argue that it's probably been approximately, if you take 30 year, the same amount of wars going on throughout the world. If you just lay out 30 years, like a 40 year slap, right? You just lay it out.
Mm.
But as media is, attention's going to be more on America and Europe, right? You know, I think that...
Yeah, but still, if you look at it, Marcus, I mean, it's still, like, I would say the 70s and 80s, of course, there were wars. Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, and probably several others that I'm not mentioning. But relatively speaking, a few very peaceful decades.
No, I don't agree with that at all.
You don't think so?
No, okay. I just think how they were communicated was underreported, and where they were, you know, during those times, Russia went into Afghanistan, you know, during that time, Africa was decolonizing, which then led to tons of different minor wars back and forth, right? So for me, it's like, I don't have the number to this, right? But I would argue that because pre-internet, how something was communicated is very, very different than today, right? We can literally, if you turn an app on, you can literally be in Kiev at this moment, watch minute by minute. We've never had access to information this way. So I think that what this does, though, is highlighting something. And I don't think that's necessarily, I think that's really important for us that people are more aware of it so we don't get into this false sense of reality that, hey, that's just internet noise. This shows that when Putin says something, do something, believe him, fundamentally believe him, because he doesn't care if he starves his population in Russia. He's much more interested on growing the Soviet border and go down as the biggest empire of that
homeboy,
time. You know?
I mean, homeboy risked nuclear meltdowns of several nuclear power plants by you know, shelling them and cutting off the electricity. He obviously doesn't give a fuck. But yeah, and you're right. I mean, it is when it's really at your doorstep because we talk about, you know, the apocalypse is coming or the end of the world. But if you ask somebody who comes from Aleppo or Homs, you know, in Syria, they'll say, oh, you know, our world ended, you know, 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody who's from Mogadishu,
sure.
You know, who'll say, might say the same thing. Or somebody from Baghdad or somebody from Kandahar, you know, might say, oh, you're worried about the world coming to an end?
Yeah.
Well, my world came to an end, you know, a couple of years back. I was one of the few to survive. So it you always have that relativity going on.
And it's also like, think about COVID, right? How COVID is impacted in Africa and COVID is impacted in the West, right? Because you have so many other, malaria, HIV, you have so many other things in day-to-day living in Africa, sub-Saharan Africa. COVID is a topic, but I don't even know if it's top 10, right? Because
Crisis resilience is way higher than it is in Western Europe.
And that's why you can have underreporting. That's why you can have all of this stuff, because it just hits a community very, very, very different than it does, you know, in the West. So I just think that, we're in a new era. And this is like Malcolm says, you know, it will be televised. It is televised right
now. As Gil Scott, hell yeah.
Yeah.
But let me flip the script on you, Marcus. It's spring, which means a whole new season of produce.
Yes.
Like, what are you cooking these
days? Oh,
my God.
That's a
where are you looking for inspiration
now?
I'm
so happy you did that because this is also about joy and being excited. Mm. And we're opening our new restaurant now, 5 months out, maybe I would say. So I'm in the
Okay, so it's a 22 opening.
Yeah. It's fall, late summer.
All right.
So what happens for me, 4 or 5 months out, I'm really narrowing this down now. I'm cooking dishes. And I was in the South this week, so I was cooking with pickled peanuts, for example, stuff like that that you don't have up north, for example.
Boiled peanuts.
Mm-hmm. We boil them, then we pickle them. You know, I'm really...
Are you putting some rice dishes on the menu?
Broken rice will definitely be on the menu. Broken rice.
Dope.
Did a rice salad with that, actually with collard greens and lots of lime and acid. And we toast the rice, brown it, and then we blend it so it becomes a powder and fold that into pickled collard greens. So spring gives you ramps. Eventually it's going to give us rhubarb, spring onions, beautiful mushrooms, and so on. So as a chef, it is super exciting time, both because it's spring, but also because the whole team, we're doing pop-ups all over just to really focus.
Trying out the stuff, right? Trying the dishes
just
out.
Just like you, right before you go on tour, right? You're trying out stuff. Or a stand-up comedian, right? To find smaller rooms to
see,
try.
See, how is this material going to work?
Yeah, and that's real. So I have notes.
And what are you feeling? Like, are you drawing inspiration from across the board with your new restaurant? I mean, Red Rooster, I always used as an example of, you know, W.E.B. Du Bois talked about the duality of African Americans, right? On one hand, you're American; on the other hand, you're Black, and that duality. And I always talk about the tripleness of my brother Marcus Samuelson, because you somehow, or you in a masterful way, I must say, like no one other that I know, weave in Ethiopia, Sweden, and United States and Harlem into like your dishes. And perfect example of that, for example, is that you had as a starter on the menu a few years back at Rooster, it was injera.
Yeah.
I think it was injera with gravlax at some point. And I was just like, and then serving it in Harlem. So it's Ethiopia. It's something super Swedish served in Harlem, you know?
I mean, definitely our narrative, my narrative will definitely be there. I think a lot about seafood in this restaurant, so it's kind of coming back to that living, big growing up near the water, but then also around sustainability. What does that look like now? And how do we make that delicious and joyful, right? So Derek Adams, incredible painter that you know his work. He's also designing the place with me, so we're working a lot about symbolism in terms of colors and patterns, but then also just the food. Like I'm really narrowing down on it, and I'm having a great time doing it, which is so important, right? When you go in to do a big lift like this, you gotta enjoy the process. You have to enjoy the process.
Absolutely. If you don't put joy into it, then how are we gonna enjoy, you know, the fruits of it once it opens?
And I
really look forward to it.
I love that you brought that up, because I actually think times like this, when it is hard putting on the news, when it is difficult to see, you know, we're just coming out of COVID and it might be another wave, we can almost say that's going to be another wave, right? So it's really, really important to find your joy in your everyday, right? Like, and that's something that you and I are so blessed that we have our creativity, right? Because when stuff is mundane or everyone's gonna have difficult days, we can go back. You can go back to your bars. I can come back and write my food, and I feel joy right away as I'm, you know, as I'm doing. I actually change. Like my eyes lit up, and I go in. You know, I get very excited.
That's when you're in your element, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
I think that's a perfect and the best way to end this talk.
Yes.
Is you know, find that joy. I know you find it in. You know, little baby Grace and Zion and Maya, and as I do with my family, but also in the work that we do. 2022.
Boom. And I just want to give a very special shout out to Bird, Little Bird, Prince, Nelson, whatever we're going to call him, Solomon, whatever we're going to call him.
Yep.
Welcome to the world with joy. You're a blessing. And you're going to have a lot of aunts and uncles looking out for you. Peace.
There you go. There you go. Peace.
What do you think about this episode? We want to hear from you. Let us know at thismomentpodcast@gmail.com. Also, follow us on Instagram @thismomentpodcast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.